As always, God has blessed us with another day that we could assemble together to worship Him in spirit and truth. I'm thankful for that. It's good to see each and every one of you. It's good to have visitors among us, and we hope that you'll come back and be with us at every opportunity you have. It's good to see Brenda again. We always enjoy her being able to be with us, and she's missed when she's not here. We've been doing a series of lessons on the reliability of the Bible. We're going to resume that, Lord willing, next week. And so this morning and tonight, I want us to look at a different topic, one that I hope will encourage us, that we'll think about these things. And again, this is a sermon that you could go a lot of different directions with, because there are so many examples in the Bible that we could notice and learn from. You think about all the individuals in the Bible. In fact, there's a book that I have, many of you may have it, that's titled Everyone in the Bible. And it's a book about this thick. There's a lot of people that we can read about from the Bible. A lot of those are good examples. A lot of those are bad examples and individuals that got involved in things that we don't need to get involved in, that we ought to abstain from. In fact, if you look at any of the number of kings that rule over the northern kingdom of Israel, those were bad examples. If you look at the kings of Judah, not all of them were good. Most of them were good kings and were categorized or described as they did that which was right in the sight of God. And so the scriptures are just filled full of examples of individuals that we can learn from, whether good or bad. And so this morning, I just want us to ask the question, could it be said of me? And we're going to look at a host of these this morning, and we'll conclude tonight after the song service to look at the rest of these. You know, the way that we live our lives is very important. We see that from what the Lord taught in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, when He was telling the disciples that they were the light of the earth, the world. They were the salt of the earth. And so we understand that our influence goes a long way. People watch the way you live your life. People watch the way that I live my life. And so, what are they seeing when they look at me? What are they seeing when they look at you? And so, I want us to look at some things that describe some individuals in the Bible. And then I want us to ask ourselves, you ask yourself, and I'll ask myself, could that be said of me? All of these are positive examples. And there's a host of negative examples, statements that describe individuals in the Bible that I hope would not be said about me or about you. The first one that I want you to think about is found in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 13. And I want you to read with me verse 14. Remember that Saul was the first king of Israel. This 1 Samuel chapter 13 and in verse 14. Saul disobeyed God, and as a result of that, the kingdom was going to be taken from him and given to another. Now notice verse 14, "But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart. The Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." And so I just want to simply ask you the question, could it be said of you, could it be said of me, that we are individuals after God's own heart? Now, there may be a lot involved in that. It might make for a lengthy study, but I want us to ask ourselves the question. Could it be said of you that you are a person that is truly after God's own heart? The same is repeated in Acts 13 and in verse 22 relative to David. But we understand that David wasn't a perfect individual. We know that he made mistakes along the way. Remember the adultery that he committed with Bathsheba? Yes, David repented of that. He poured his heart out to God in repentance and confession to God of that sin in Psalm 51. When he acknowledged against thee and thee only have I sinned. Well, we know that it involved other people, but the Scriptures still describe David as a man that was after God's own heart. But yet we know that he did wrong. I think about the example that the Lord gave In Luke chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, when Jesus and the apostles were going through the cornfields on this particular occasion. And as they went through the fields, they were hungry. They plucked off the ears of corn. They began to rub them in their heads, and they began to eat of it. And what were they accused of doing? Your disciples are doing wrong. Why are you doing that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath day? Again, that's found in Luke chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. But then, notice what the Lord said. Begin with verse 3. Jesus answering them said, "Have you not read so much as this, what David did?" You see, the Jews esteemed David very highly. And they condemned Jesus' disciples, but then he's saying, "Don't you know what David did?" And he's going to teach them a lesson when he himself was hungered and they that were with him. How he went into the house of God and to take and eat the showbread and gave also to them that were with him, which it is not lawful to eat, but for the priests only. And he said unto them, that the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. You read about that, what David did and those that were with him in 1 Samuel chapter 21. And how they went in the days of Abiathar, and he was hungry, and the priest said, "There's nothing here but the showbread." But yet they partook of that. We know from Leviticus chapter 24 that that was reserved only for Aaron and his sons, the priests. But yet David did that, but they were not willing to condemn David for what David did. And so the Lord, again, exposes their inconsistency, their hypocrisy. And the Lord is saying, the disciples did not do that which was wrong. In fact, another rendering of that in one of the other accounts says, you would not have condemned the guiltless. And so the Lord says, the disciples are not guilty. But you will not even, in other words, call out David for what he did. And so we know that David wasn't perfect in the sense that he sinned. But yet, time and again, he was a person who sought the right ways of the Lord. And we see that throughout the Psalms. But can it be said of you? Can it be said of me that I'm after God's own heart? But there's another one I want you to think about, and this one is found in Genesis chapter 6. You know anything about the book of Genesis? You know what's taking place in the book of Genesis chapter 6? Here we read about Noah and about the impending flood that God was going to bring upon man to destroy man from off the face of the earth as a result of man's rebellion and transgression, his sin against God. I want you to notice what the Bible says in verse 5 beginning. In Genesis chapter 6 and in verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and creeping thing, and fowls of the air. For it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. A lot could be learned from Noah. But I want to ask you the question, can it be said of you that you walk with God? Such was the case with Noah. We just read where the Bible says that Noah walked with God. Could it be said of me that I walk with God? The same was also said concerning David in 1 Kings chapter 3 and in verse 22. Folks, if it can be said of me that I walk with God, then I must be doing what God would have me to be doing. If that can be said of you, then you must be walking in the right ways of the Lord as opposed to your own ways. In 1 John chapter 1 verse 7, we read that our fellowship with God and our fellowship with one another is dependent upon us walking in the light as He is in the light. Remember that verse? You see, our fellowship goes this way and this way. And the only way that we can have fellowship this way is if we have fellowship with God. And the only way that takes place is if we walk in the light as He is in the light. There's a problem today with individuals trying to have fellowship with those to whom the Bible says we cannot have fellowship with, even in the body of Christ. And we need to think about things like that. To walk in the commands of God. No, God's desire is that we walk in good works. You remember reading about that in the Bible? In Titus chapter 2 and in verse 14, the Bible talks about that He separated us, that we are a peculiar people. Zealous of what? Good works. In Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 10, the Bible says, but we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And so it's going to be said of you and it's going to be said of me that I walk with God, then I must do what God would have me to do. Such was the case with Noah. You know that to be the case because it's stated of Noah in Genesis chapter 6 and in verse 22. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. But there's another one I want you to think about. A third one that we can learn from. And again, the Bible is just filled full of examples like this that we can learn from. This one comes from the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And notice, if you will, verse 5. This great hall of faith chapter of the Bible. Hebrews 11 and verse 5. But Enoch, rather, was translated that he should not see death and was not found. Now notice this next phrase. Because God has translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. Could it be said of me this morning that I am pleasing to God? Could that be said of you? That you please God. Folks, if I please God, then it is of necessity that I not seek my own will, but the will of God. And over and over and over, the Scriptures talk about that. Galatians chapter 1 and in verse 10. And Paul said, for do I seek to please men or God? For if I yet seek to please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. So we really need to be honest with ourselves and ask ourselves, who are we trying to please, God or men? Let me ask you this. What brought you here this morning? You don't have to answer out loud. You don't owe me an answer for that. God already knows. But what motivated you to get up and to be here this morning? I'm glad you're here. God is glad that you're here. But was it that you wanted to please God? I tell you, over and over, individuals make statements to me that impress me along the way, that encourage me. Not that they're trying to impress me, but it just strikes me what they say, and a lot of it is encouraging to me. I'll give you an example. Just before service this morning, an individual was talking with me and talking about studying the Bible, and this individual looked at me and said, I don't need your opinion, but God's opinion. What an attitude I immediately thought in my mind. We all need to be that way, that we're not seeking man's opinion, but we're seeking God's opinion. And that we'll stop for nothing less than to be pleasing to Him and to find out what God would have us to do. Brethren need to be that way. Sometimes we get caught up in doing things and we don't even know why it is that we do it. And then someone may offer to have a study with us, and guess what? We've got a choice to make. Am I going to study or not? I've had individuals who said, yes, I will study with you. Let's sit down and look at that. And I've had individuals that would say, no, I'm not going to study with you. And decline to have a study. But we need to understand why we do the things that we do. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25. We're going to double dip because we're going to look at this character again, probably tonight. But in Hebrews chapter 11 and in verse 25, let's back up to verse 23. By faith, Moses, all what we could learn from God's servant, Moses. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now notice this next verse. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. And the list just goes on and on. But could it be said of us this morning that we have chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season? There's a lot of things that bring about pleasure to these fleshly bodies in our minds. But those things don't endure. This body's going to pass away. A lot of verses talk about that. Ecclesiastes chapter 6 and Ecclesiastes chapter 12 talks about that and a host of other passages. We know that we're going to die. And so the point is that yes, we can choose to do those things that bring us pleasure, but that's not going to last. What will endure is our obedience to God, being right in the sight of God. Those are the things that we can take with us. Well, preacher, how do you know you can take them with you? Remember what John penned in Revelation 14, 13? I heard a voice from heaven saying, blessed are they, or right rather, blessed are they which die in the Lord, yea, save the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. And their works do what? Follow them. I know that those things endure. I know that God is not unrighteous to forget our labor which we bestow in service to Him, the Hebrew writer would pen. That God is faithful to reward us according to those things that we have done. Romans chapter 14, verses 10 through 12. Could that be said of you? Could that be said of me? That I have chose to suffer affliction. You know, the Scriptures talk about the affliction and the persecution that God's people are going to suffer. Yea, all those who live in godly, Paul would write to Timothy. Yea, all those who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. The Lord taught to the apostles about that in the Sermon on the Mount and other places. This is what they're going to do to you. They're going to persecute you. They're going to separate you from their own company. They're going to cast your name out as nothing. But rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Yet the Lord taught in Matthew chapter 6 and in verse 24 that man cannot serve two masters, for either he will love the one and hold to the other, despise one and cling to the other, but you cannot serve God and mammon, the Lord said in Matthew 6, 24. The blessing and the curse that was presented to Israel. Remember that? Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. I've set before you this day a blessing and a cursing. A cursing if you fail to do what God has told you to do. A blessing if you do. Well, guess what they chose along the way? They chose rebellion and stubbornness. And as a result of that, those curses came upon them. So could it be said of us that we have chose to suffer affliction? Those of you that have obeyed the gospel of Christ this morning, maybe you did so knowing that the Scriptures teach that the way was not going to be easy, but yet you chose to obey the Lord in spite of that truth. Good for you. I wish that many more would count the cost and say, you know what, even though it's going to be difficult, even though I'm not going to have an easy road ahead of me, I'm still going to obey the gospel of Christ. So could it be said of us, like it was said of Moses, that he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God? Could it be said of us, as it was said of Job, in Job chapter 1, if you'll turn there with me, that we were an individual who was perfect and upright, Job 1:1, one that feared God and that eschewed, or some versions say, shunned evil. The word perfect in the Bible, by the way, means complete oftentimes. And the only way that we're going to be complete this side of the cross is in Christ Jesus, according to Colossians chapter 2 and in verse 10, for you are complete in Him. The word perfect means complete, morally pious, gentle. Would that be said of me? That I'm gentle? Yes, I know my shortcomings. I know the areas that I need to work on. I know that I don't deal with every situation the same, and I wish that I was able to do that, but I need to strive to do that. And so you need to put yourself in that question. Upright means straight. Feared, reverent. Not always does it mean to be afraid of. Sometimes it means reverence. It can mean afraid of. One that eschewed or shunned evil. That literally means to turn off. To put away from one evilness. Again, it's rendered shunned in the New King James Version. Some of your versions may render it differently. But could this statement concerning Job describe you, and could it describe me? We need to strive to be like that. We need to strive to be an individual to whom it could be said of us like it was said of Job, when the sons of men came to present themselves before God and the devil was among them, and he said, where have you been? He said, going to and fro in the earth. Remember, God asked the question, have you considered my servant Job? Would he say that about me? Would he tell the devil, have you considered my servant Donnie? Or have I lived my life in such a way that that could not be said? I've got to answer that for myself. God already knows. And you've got to answer that for yourself. Can it be said that we fear God? We have a lack of fear toward God in our country, in our world today. People live their lives in such a way that tells me, at least, that they don't fear God. They don't care whether or not God approves of what they're doing. They don't care about the fact that when this life is over, they're going to stand before Jesus Christ on that occasion, that judgment day, and give account of the things that they have done. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, Jesus said, fear not them which are able to destroy the body, but then they have no power to do anything else, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. Me and Ethan were out riding around one day, and we went to visit someone and left there, and I figured we'd just drive on down the road and see what was down that way. And we passed by a meeting house of a denomination. And I turned in the parking lot there, and it got to be a convenient place to turn. And I said, Ethan, read that sign. He read that sign. Reverend so-and-so. So I put the truck in park, and I said, let's turn to Psalm 111. So you go ahead and turn to Psalm 111. And notice what the Bible says. Psalm 111. And read with me verse 9. Psalm 111, verse 9. He sent redemption unto His people. He had commanded His covenant forever. Now you watch this phrase and you mark it down, whether you write on paper or you write in your Bible. Holy and reverent is His name. I dare not attach that word to my name. You willing to do that, by the way? Shake or nod if you want someone to refer to you as reverend or to revere you. That belongs to God. Remember that statement Jesus gave, render therefore to Caesar the things that belong to Caesar and to God the things that belong to God's? That belongs to God and not man. And so that's why you won't look on the bulletin or maybe on a sign or what flyer or whatever the case may be and see reverent attached to the name of any of these men here. That belongs to God. We need to fear God and revere God, have reverence for Him. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and in verse 22, the Bible says, abstain from all appearance or form of evil. Ephesians 4:27 talks about neither give place to the devil. We've covered five examples from the Scriptures this morning. And I've asked the question, could it be said of you? Could it be said of me? Tonight we'll look at five more, Lord willing. As we think about how God would have us to live our lives, let me ask you the question, could it be said of you this morning that you are a child of God? Sometimes we are not, our eyes are not open to the reality of our condition before God. People were like that in the Bible. In the last part of Revelation chapter 3, you read about the letter that was penned to the church at Laodicea. They thought that they were rich. They thought that they were on good footing with the Lord. Yet the Lord said that you don't realize that you're poor, miserable, blind, naked. Remember that? In Acts chapter 13, you read about an individual who sought to turn away the deputy of the country from the faith. You know what the Apostle Paul said to him? Thou enemy of all righteousness, thou child of the devil, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? You see, the reality of it is if I'm not a child of God, that only leaves one option. That means I'm a child of the devil. I've not obeyed the Lord. That means I'm a servant of the devil. That's the reality of it. But I'll tell you another reality, and that is that God is long-suffering and He's blessed you to be able to be here this morning. He's extended another opportunity this side of eternity that you could obey Him and become a child of His. To leave this building this morning saved from all your past sins. Know that if today were the last day of your earthly pilgrimage, heaven will be your eternal home. You do that through faith. So then faith comes by hearing and hear by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. Believing that Jesus is the Son of God. John 8:24. Repenting of your sins, Acts 17, verse 30. Confessing your faith in Christ that He's the Son of God, Acts 8, and then verse 37. And being baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. Maybe you have done that, but you turned your back on the Lord, went back out into the world of sin. Why not repent of those sins? Make confession to God in prayer that He'll restore you to faithfulness. We'll pray with you for you. Come right now.